Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. One of the most exciting nights in cinema is upon us once again. This Sunday, the American Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will present the 88th Academy Awards. The Oscar field this year includes portrayals of unsung heroes of the American landscape, frontiersman Hugh Glass, negotiator and lawyer James B. Donovan, and a few financial geniuses who predicted the housing collapse that led to the Great Recession. Critics argue the Best Picture category is wide open this year. But this year's ceremony also notable for a lack of diversity among nominees. When the list of nominees was released earlier this year, the hashtag OscarSoWhite was born, and several prominent black actors and filmmakers pledged not to attend the annual ceremony on Sunday. Joining us to give their take on the nominees and take your calls, Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg, professors of film studies at SUNY Albany. Rob and Audrey have co-authored several entertainment biographies, and as regular commentators here, are regarded as WAMC's premier couple of cinematic criticism and analysis. Rob and Audrey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, or go to WAMC.org/VoxPop. Comment on our Facebook page as well, Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or email voxpop@WAMC.org. But again, that number, 800-348-2551. Well, this is always a fun show, and I do want to make sure that we get to our picks and maybe some of those that were left out on the list. But I think it's important that we at least touch upon the controversy. And, of course, I'm talking about the complete exclusion of Hot Tub Time Machine 2 from any sort of consideration.
That was my choice for that
picture. You see,
picture.
Rob, you see, we're on the same page.
Yeah, right.
So the diversity issue has been all over there. I know, Rob, you did a commentary on this a week or two
right.
ago.
Right. Okay. Obviously, we all know no people of color among all 20 acting nominees for 2015. It was the same thing for the previous year, 2014.
Right.
One actor who might have been nominated, and I think it was a bit of a shock that he wasn't, was Daniel Oyelowo, who was quite acclaimed for playing Martin Luther King in Selma. Now, what really hit me when this controversy arose was, okay, let's take a look previous years. How many acting nominees with actors of color have, you know, been selected. Now, for what it's worth, I just look back at the past just decade, and, you know, you count up the numbers. There were 17 different actors nominated, or they were nominated or they won. You know, everybody from Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, actors, you know, Hollywood royalty, to Viola Davis, the legendary Ruby Dee, Lupita Nyong'o, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Jennifer Hudson, Monique, and so forth and so on. Is racism involved with the lack of actors of color being nominated during the past few years? I don't know, but I think it's important to take a look just at the previous decade. Another point that I want to make, 2 years ago, the Best Picture nominee and winner was 12 Years a Slave. Lupita Nyong'o won for Supporting Actress. Chiwetel Ejiofor was nominated for Best Actor, and Steve McQueen for Best Director. This year also, I think it's important to acknowledge Chris Rock was selected to be the host. Straight Outta Compton, which is a film that could have been a Best Picture nominee, it did get one for Best Screenplay. Also, Spike Lee was given an honorary Oscar. And I want to point out, he is still in his 50s and he's still active. Usually the honorary Oscar winners are people who are in their 80s, like Debbie Reynolds won the Jean Hirschhalt Award, and Jenna Rollins. They're both way up there in age. You know, is there racism involved, or is it just the way the coin, you toss the coin and the way it lands? I really can't answer that. But I think you got to look at the whole picture.
Somebody did a survey, came out in the last week or so, and determined that Hollywood, meaning the administrators, the producers of Hollywood, basically were a straight white man's club.
Yeah, there's an op-ed piece in Black Enterprise entitled The Academy Awards and Diversity, and it was written by Fred McKinney, who's the his PhD, Managing Director of Minority Business Programs at Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth College. And I'll quote just a little of it here. He says, I want to be clear. I do not feel like a victim, and nor am I surprised by these results. 94% of Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences members are white. What else could you realistically expect? When there is a lack of diversity among decision makers, two things happen. One, you get a lack of diversity in results. Two, you get bad business decisions. This is not a call for a quota of black actors in films. That must be nominated in order to, quote, check the box. The check the box mentality is all too common in many aspects of business. There is a great point that he makes about the bad business decisions, and I'll quote this paragraph. A look at the box office performances of the eight nominees compared to the eight African-American films released in 2015 reveals some interesting results. And again, this is from Fred McKinney. The six black films where I could find data showed total production costs of $81 million. The gross sales of these six films was $364 million, or a 4.5 multiple. The seven Academy Award-nominated films that I could find had combined gross sales of $588 million and a cost of $491 million. Black films had a multiple almost four times the multiple of the films nominated by the Academy. And I think McKinney's point here is, as diversity increases in the Academy, it will be a natural result. You'll see more diversity in the nomination process and the award winners.
Well, I think some of this harkens back to when Shaft came out. It was the 70s?
70, 71.
Yeah. That's a film basically made by the white part of Hollywood, but they found that black people became a fantastic audience.
Well, it was directed by an African-American,
yes,
Gordon
Parks.
Yes, it
was. And it's...
And Isaac Hayes won the music. The theme from Shaft.
And the theme of Shaft is an African-American man who's heroic, who's tough, who just can do it all. And it was someone to emulate. So I think what we need is, if we're going to be stuck with a straight white man's club, these straight white men are going to have to understand that they need to satisfy more than one type of audience.
Now, I want to mention a film last year that really is quite a film. It's called Beasts of No Nation. Didn't receive one nomination in any category. Now, Idris Elba, I think, could have been a nominee. The issue here might have been, would it be in the Best Actor category or Supporting Actor? He's top billed, but he's been nominated and he's won prizes in the Supporting category from the Screen Actors Guild and a bunch of other organizations. Now, why did Beasts of No Nations, why did it not get a Best Picture? You can, up these years, today, you can have up to 10 nominees for Best Picture. There only are eight. Why not Beasts of No Nations as number nine? Okay, in other words, he wouldn't be, this film would not be replacing another film. Now, is it because there's somehow racism involved, or is it because Beasts of No Nation premiered on Netflix, even though it had a theatrical release, which makes it okay for the Oscars and makes it qualify for the Oscars? But did some of the voters say, oh, gee, this film came on Netflix, which is the equivalent of it being a TV movie, perhaps, so now we won't give it any nominations? I don't know. This is an endless discussion. Is it racism or is it business? You know, it's...
Well, the Academy Awards are meant for the self-aggrandizement of the film industry, correct?
Positively.
Right. Okay. And I think Netflix hasn't found its place yet within the film industry.
Right.
Yeah.
So as the industry changes, and that's Fred McKinney's point, this will change. And his last line is, so I say, let the Oscars be the Oscars. The diversity outcomes facing the Academy will change as the composition of the Academy will surely change.
Well, I hope so. But I also feel that the Golden Globes have already adapted. So what's the matter with the Oscars? Yeah. Why can't they do better?
Also, the Golden Globes, you have two categories, Best Comedy Musical and then Best Dramatic. So you have twice as many nominees.
The formats by which we see films these days have changed so drastically in the last 10 years that I think the Academy has to take a look at its structure and decide whether it's going to adapt to the 21st century or whether it wants to remain what it is at the moment, very conservative.
Well, it's a big night for those involved with the industry and those who watch films, and I know you two watch a lot of films.
Oh, yes.
And we will get to your predictions momentarily. Sure. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. It's our annual Oscars show. You're welcome to join in. We'll get our predictions coming up.
WAMC comes from the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting the Capital Region's National Natural Landmark with an interactive visitor center, guided programs, and 20 miles of trails. AlbanyPineBush.org. The Whistling Kettle Cafe and Tea Shop. Lunch menu includes crepes, paninis, salads, soups, and more. Over 130 types of tea, coffee, beer, wine, Boston Spa, and Troy. TheWhistlingKettle.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works. Offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield. A jewelry emporium providing traditional and non-traditional engagement, wedding, and anniversary rings for conventional and same-sex couples. UnusualWeddingRings.com. And Curtis Lumber, providing home improvement products and advice to homeowners and contractors, supporting local communities for over a century. CurtisLumber.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Number to call is 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here. We're joined by Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg today. And before we get to your predictions, let's go to Lee in Ulster. Lee has a question that I think is an interesting one. Lee, I'll let you get in here first before we do predictions.
Yeah, my question was, I had read a very interesting article that basically said that the awards had become such an enormous number of categories, that there was such a mountain of movies to be seen, that people who are assigned with doing the choosing are just not looking at all the films.
Do you think that's true?
I don't
know that that's true. The thing was that once they get through looking at the ones that they think are going to entertain them, they have less time and less patience for the more marginal movies. Is there anything to that argument?
Well, what films get nominated, what films don't? So much of it involves publicity. It involves how much the studio or the producers, how much money and effort they put into getting the word out about their films. So again, a lot of it is political. I made a list of films a lot of films only got one nomination, and quite a few got multiple. I made a list of films that got no nominations. Each one of these films I've seen, and they could have been nominated. I think they are at a certain level. Spike Lee made a film titled Chirac. This is an adaptation of Les Estrada set in contemporary Chicago. Came out at the end of the year, didn't get much hype. This could have gotten some nominations. Diary of a Teenage Girl. A young actress named Belle Pauly gives a star-making performance. Grandma with Lily Tomlin. Lily Tomlin could have gotten a Best Actress nomination. Very good film. Jafar Panahi's Taxi, an extraordinary film by a wonderful filmmaker. Infinitely Polar Bear. Mark Ruffalo could have gotten a Best Actor nomination. Labyrinth of Lies, a German film that deals with the Holocaust. Love and Mercy, the Brian Wilson biopic. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, wonderful film. A film titled Victoria, which is 138 minutes shot in one take, about a young woman's experiences during one evening. All these films could have gotten nominations in various categories they didn't get. Why? Again, it's political. The film wasn't all that seen. It wasn't pushed by the publicists,
yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I think years ago, to relate to your question, I think years ago, the studio system was in control. And it was fairly straightforward for each studio to put forward, to promote, a certain number of films that they felt were award worthy.
Right.
Today, everything's blurred. And we no longer even have the independent sector and the studio sector. everything is a blur. So I can imagine that a lot of films would be lost in the shuffle.
Well, who's the gatekeeper? In other words, I know that the studios will put a lot of money and a lot of political arm twisting to get their choices in. But who is that ultimate gatekeeper who says, well, you know, we got so many nominees this year, we can't have any more?
It's probably an assistant working in the Academy office who takes in the, you know, the viewing copies and disseminates them. So who's the gatekeeper?
Also, you know, why do individual Academy members choose specific films or actors? You know, somebody very easily could say, and this is for real, boy, Sylvester Stallone has a nomination for Creed. I don't like the guy. I find him to be boorish, or I think he's made too many dreadful films during the past 40 years, so I'm not going to vote for him.
Is there payola?
You know.
Among judges?
I couldn't answer that.
No?
I couldn't answer
well,
that.
You're both very naive. All right, let's go to line two. Mark.
Ask Harvey Weinstein.
All right.
Yep.
Mark in Albany, you're on.
Oh, yes, it's an interesting conversation. Some of the points were already stressed, but I wanted to ask if it has anything to do with, in the old days, you could put a quality product up for an Oscar with like, let's say, for On the Waterfront or The Godfather or even Rocky. And I think some of those pictures, if you were to try to do them today, could not even be made. And I'm just wondering your opinion on whether you think it has anything to do with the monetary base for what you have to spend nowadays just to get a movie produced and directed.
All right.
Yeah, today, it's called the motion picture industry for a reason. It's all about profit and loss. Films within the industry, a film is a product. That's the term that's used. Films are made to make money, just like cars or clothing or bathroom tissue. This is why the films that the major studios spend money on, based on popular best-selling novels, their replays of the popular films, their remakes, and so forth and so on. The smaller films will come with smaller budgets. They are made, but they're going to play at the art house as opposed to the mall, and they're not going to make a fraction. They'll only make a fraction of the money that the Hunger Games 13 would make in its first weekend.
Audrey,
and I think also too, my comment was these are all formulas, and we all know what formulas are, and that it's formula driven today, opposed to maybe plot-driven or character-driven. And a lot of times, in my opinion, I've been around a while, a good picture or a good storyline, you have to have a lot of inside help to even get acknowledged as a movie if you want to be considered for the Academy Awards.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering if a lot of what we're experiencing has to do with inside pressure.
Okay, Mark, why don't you listen on the radio, and we'll let Audrey go first here.
Okay, I'm not so sure. I mean, I think you mentioned On the Waterfront, fabulous issue film. And if you look at the films of 2015, I'm not saying look at Spectre. I'm not saying look at Star Wars or whatever. But there are so many issue films. It's amazing to me how many strong films there are representing troubles in society.
Right, but formula films work, and there have been formulaic films since day one.
There's room for both.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there have been some great films that you know what's coming to some extent.
Years ago, I'm talking about many, many years, the major studios would do a Shakespeare. They would do a book, a film based on today it's got to come more from the independent sector. And the acknowledgement is that these films will play in the art house. They won't make a fraction of what the Mad Max or whatever will be. But the actors want to make them. They've got a good script. The director, the filmmakers want to make them, and they do get made. And also, there's a hope here that they'll get Oscar nominations.
Okay, and that's prestige right there.
You betcha.
All right, Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg are our guests today. The number to call is 800-348-2551. All right, let's get to the predictions for the 88th Academy Awards. We'll start with actress. Let's do a supporting actress today. We'll start with that, and then we'll go from there. Actress in a supporting role, Rooney Mara Carroll. Jennifer Jason Leigh, The Hateful Eight. Alicia Vikander, is that how you say it?
Vikander.
Vikander, The Danish Girl. Kate Winslet, Steve Jobs. And Rachel McAdams in Spotlight.
Yeah. This is the one category that I think is up for grabs among the actors. I think it's going to be a toss-up, but my personal choice would be either Jennifer Jason Leigh. This is her first nomination. She's been around for a long time. Or Alicia Vikander, who I would say is last year's Jennifer Lawrence. She's the big breakthrough actress. But I think that Kate Winslet is going to win, but I would prefer Vikander or Lee.
Audrey?
Well, I think Vikander's going to win, and I really feel the only weak entry in that category is Rooney Mara.
Why?
I haven't seen every film with Rooney Mara, I don't think. But I think Rooney Mara is a weak actress. I think she doesn't have enough edge to her. I saw her again in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, I felt, in comparison to the Swedish version, Numa... help me out here.
Numi Rapace.
Rapace, yeah. I thought she was so much more edgy, so much more powerful on screen. Mm-hmm. And then,
is that bad direction or bad screenwriting or bad acting?
No, I think it's Rooney Mara because Carol is, to me, one of the most interesting films of this past year. And Cate Blanchett embodies the character of Carol. But... Rooney Mara just kind of sits there and smiles. I just felt, who is she?
Okay.
Now, and I read the book, and there's a real character there in Patricia Highsmith's The Price of Salt. There's a really powerful character there, but Rooney Mara doesn't find it.
Also, in all these categories, you know, you can look at the nominees, but you also could say who didn't get nominated, who might have. In the Best Supporting Actress, I would say Jane Fonda. I saw the film Youth. I saw it back in September at the Toronto Film Festival.
Yeah.
She's in one scene. She's riveting.
Well, you can't give her a nomination for one scene, right?
It's been done.
Oh, sure. Sure. Positive. You can go through. If we had 3 hours, I can give you examples of
I forget the name of the film where someone who won Best Supporting Actor had one speech.
Network.
Network, okay.
Yeah.
All right, actor in a supporting role, Christian Bale, The Big Short, Tom Hardy. The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo gets his nod for Spotlight. Somebody I don't know, Mark Rylance.
You're
one of my favorites.
Really, Bridge of Spies, and Sylvester Stallone, Creed, and I guess this is a pretty strong category.
Well, Stallone will win. A part of this is this becomes a Life Achievement Award. Rocky is 40 years ago already. Hard to believe. He's been in a lot of, as far as I'm concerned, junk, and I'm being very polite here over the years. You know, but this is going to be a Life Achievement Award because he's playing Rocky 40 years later, and so he's pushing 70. So I think, is going to be the walkaway winner.
What do you think, Audrey?
Well, it's going to be either Mark Ruffalo or Mark Rylance.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think there are enough voters who just will not vote for Stallone. Mark Rylance is one of the most important actors in Britain. He was very active in the Globe Theater for years. He's a classical actor. He's like an Olivier.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And he just hasn't spent a lot of time in film. The first time I saw him in a film was... The Brothers K did an avant-garde film in London about some guy who enters a training to be a butler, Benjamenta. He's really so offbeat. He's an incredible interesting person. He's in Wolf Hall. That's how a lot of Americans have come to know him. I would love to see him win for Bridge of Spies because I think he did a fabulous
job. Well, whether
job.
You'd love him to win, do you think he'll win?
Oh, well, maybe. But I
all right, that's
but
not
I think
very...
I think Ruffalo probably
okay.
will win.
I'll mark you down as Ruffalo here on the sheet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never win these award. You know, when we do betting on who's going to get.
Do you bet at home?
We occasionally have a party or something, and
yeah.
Then,
yeah.
But I never do well. Rob always wins. Even if there are a dozen people in the room, Rob always wins.
So Rob says Sylvester Stallone gets this one for Creed.
Yeah, all but right. I think he's yeah. wrong.
All right, fair enough. I like that when you disagree. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. Best Director, Lenny Abramson, Room, Alejandro Iñárritu, The Revenant, George Miller, for Mad Max, Fury Road, Tom McCarthy, Spotlight, and Adam McKay, The Big Short. Okay.
Alejandro G. Iñárritu for The Revenant.
Yeah, okay.
He won last year for Birdman. I think he's going to get two in
back
a row.
Back to back, eh?
Back to back. I mean, this is what the Oscars are. You know, Alfred Hitchcock never won an Academy Award for Best Director. And there are others who were legends who never won.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Iñárritu, who I think is one of the great contemporary visual stylist. He's going to win, I believe. It'll be two in a row. That's wonderful. But I think you have to always have to put the Oscars into perspective.
All right, who would you like to win before we get to Oscars prediction?
Iñárritu, I would like to win, and I think he's going to win.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, well, I'll agree that Iñárritu is going to win, and I would like him to win. The only one I do not want to win is Adam McKay for The Big Short.
Why?
I felt that was one of the worst directed films of the year. In fact, I walked out before the end of it.
Really?
Because I was nauseous from the camera movement. He's going for a cinema verite
sure.
feel, and he just moves his camera around. But if you look at the best of cinema verite, the Albert Maysles films, Albert and David Maysles, or any of the other cinema verite people, they never move their cameras out of control like that. That was really, to me, amateurish and upsetting.
Clearly not amateurish if that was his goal, right?
I don't know what his goal was, but he didn't make it. He didn't make it as a good director.
Rob, do you agree?
No.
Oh, good. I like this.
That's okay, you know. Oh, you should listen to it. They should record our conversations as we're driving home from a movie.
I'm telling you, you get a camera and you have your own yeah. YouTube channel and yeah. you do this snap judgments on films. You leave the theater and you turn the camera on. All right, so you disagree with Audrey.
Yeah, but that's all right.
But we agree on who's going to win.
Okay.
Yeah. The Revenant in Iñárritu.
See, it's less exciting when you agree.
Well, you know, you can have 10 people and 10 different opinions, and everybody's entitled
okay,
to
well
an opinion.
Then
that's
I'll
what I say
would say. Who's a close second.
Okay, go ahead.
Tom McCarthy
for Spotlight.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That was a beautifully conceived film.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Actress in a leading role, Cate Blanchett, Carol, Brie Larson, Room, Jennifer Lawrence, Joy, Charlotte Rampling, 45 years. And someone's name who I can't pronounce.
Charisse Ronan.
That's the one for Brooklyn.
Right. Okay, Brie Larson's going to win. She's winning everything else. I love Charisse Ronan in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is one of my favorite films. It's a very sweet, old-fashioned film. And I'm not just saying it because I was born and bred in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Charlotte Rampling gives a wonderful... She's 69, 70. She's been around for 50 years. This is her first nomination. She's wonderful in 45 years. I would say Brie Larson's going to win.
Brie Larson wins this, according to Rob.
Yeah.
Audrey.
Cate Blanchett is going to get this award.
That would be her third, by the way.
I can't imagine anyone doing what she did with that part. I mean, is anyone else doing it. She is with Meryl Streep. She's a lot younger than Meryl Streep, but of the middle age and up, boy, she is it. I think Charlotte Rampling did a wonderful job in 45 years. I would recommend 45 years to especially the older generation of moviegoers. It's an extraordinary experience
yeah.
sitting through that film. It's very different from most films that are being made. And she's terrific, but she's not going to win. And the fact that she made those comments about the African-American issue, her comments were something to the effect of, well, it is what it is, and who cares?
But didn't she make those after the voting was done?
I don't think so, because I'm not sure when the voting finished.
Didn't they just finish in the last week or so?
So I'm saying her comments came out before.
She made the comments right after the nominations were announced.
Oh, yeah, I see. So I think she really blew it for herself. But I don't think she had any chance of getting the award. But she's terrific in that film. But I'm going for Cate Blanchett.
Okay, so you say Cate, and Rob says Brie. It is 800-348-2551 for a phone number. Vox Pop, we talk Oscars today with Rob and Audrey, 800-348-2551. We'll take a break and then the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from Colby Attorney Service. Document filing, document and information retrieval, and other services, including legal publishing and corporate record searches, ColbyService.com. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. AGStewardship.org. The Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV, albany.clipcentric.com. And Shire City Sanctuary, presenting dance instructions and a swing dance, too, on February 27th with music by the Lucky Five, ShireCitySanctuary.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number to call is 800-348-2551. The 88th Academy Awards are Sunday night, and we're joined today by Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg, who are making their predictions, and we're talking Oscars. By the way, did you see that they're going back to the original 1929 statuettes to give away?
Right. And
they're using 3D scanning, and they've made an actual copy of an original.
And they're produced. They're produced locally, I believe.
Really?
Well, yes.
Downstate.
Yeah.
In the Hudson Valley, Dutchess County.
Has it been that way? Because I think they changed. Okay, so this is the new. They're doing it a different way. They've always made it sort of a traditional way. You make the statuettes. They're still coated in 24-karat gold, but I guess
there's bronze involved.
Okay, but they did this 3D scanning inside and out and. Yeah. It's going to be an exact replica. So that's pretty cool for those who win.
I think it's very cool.
Sure.
Does anybody care anymore about the Oscars? Has the viewership waned over the years?
Right now, we're heading up to Sunday. There are a zillion articles.
No, I know people care.
But 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, you'll ask the average person, gee, what won for Best Picture this year? Quick, off the top of your head. Totally forgotten. Who won for Best Director? Who won for Best Actor? Best Actress? You know, this is the event of the moment, and in a couple of weeks it'll be totally forgotten. This happens every year.
I know a lot of people who won't watch the ceremony. They just feel it's too boring. So I think we have to separate the popularity of the actual Sunday night ceremony with the significance of the Oscars. I think there still is some respect among moviegoers for the Oscars. But the ceremony, a lot of people poo-poo
it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just wonder, when I was a kid, talking the 1970s, it was a big deal. And even as kids, we watched it.
Yeah.
And there were only three channels then, so you really didn't have a lot of options.
Right.
But have you looked at the ratings? Are they down now over the last 20 years?
I haven't studied the ratings. I don't know. I just know with people that I run into or that I know as friends, they're not excited. And here this year we have Chris Rock.
Who's great. Oh, you're not a fan?
I am a fan.
I'm a big fan.
I love Chris Rock.
But I don't know how broad. How does Chris Rock play into the significance of the greatest films of the year.
But you don't want that in an MC, do you?
A lot of, well.
Did Letterman play into any of the?
Well, he didn't do that.
Letterman bomb. That's why he only did it 1 year. I think a lot of people will watch more for. Oh, gee, what is she wearing as she walks down the red carpet, and who designed her outfit? A lot of people will watch for that reason, as opposed to who's going to win.
Yeah.
And they want to see if Travolta touches somebody in a strange way or makes a funny face.
That's not why I'll be watching.
You know.
By the way, Allison Dunn, who is our Hudson Valley bureau chief, did a great piece on the people who are making the statues.
Right.
So that's something you can find at WAMC.org. Good. All right, number to call here is 800-348-2551. To recap our predictions thus far, both Rob and Audrey agree that actress in a supporting role goes to Alicia Vikander. Is that correct?
Yeah, Vikander.
Vikander.
The Danish girl. Actor in a supporting role goes to Sylvester Stallone. Well, that's Rob.
That's me.
And Audrey says Mark Ruffalo gets it for Spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
Best director, you both agree, Alejandro Iñárritu, The Revenant, and actress in a leading role, a split decision here. Rob says Brie Larson. Audrey says Cate Blanchett. And now we're up to actor in a leading role. And we got Bryan Cranston, Matt for Trumbo, Matt Damon, The Martian, Leonardo DiCaprio, The Revenant, Michael Fassbender, Steve Jobs, and Eddie Redmayne, The Danish Girl.
Okay, Leo, as he is known throughout the world, is going to win. He's winning everything else. Again, this also becomes a Life Achievement Award. He's been nominated previously.
How can you have a Life Achievement Award when you're 12?
Well, when you've been around for quite a few years.
Because he's been around since he was a kid.
He's been in movies since he was a kid. He's gotten nominations, never won. In some cases, he was expecting to get a nomination, and he didn't. So he's going to be the winner this year.
Okay.
But one of the points also, this is a perfect example of, this is just my opinion. Bryan Cranston and Matt Damon, I don't know why they got nominations. Their performances, again, in my view, they're not special. Well, Michael B. Jordan is excellent in Creed, African-American actor. He could have been nominated. Then again, so could Johnny Depp for Black Mass, or Mark Ruffalo for Infinitely Polar Bear, or even Tom Hanks for Bridge of Spies. So there are a lot of fine performances, and a few of them didn't get nominations.
Okay, Audrey, who's your pick?
Okay, well, my pick is Leonardo DiCaprio, because I'd be crazy not to say he's going to win it, since everybody says he's going to win.
Wouldn't it be a surprise if he didn't? He seems to be the only slam dunk here in the whole list.
Yeah, I would be surprised. Yeah. But I'd like to comment on Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
Because last year, Eddie Redmayne won for Stephen Hawking, right? Didn't he win last year?
The theory of...
And a lot of people think of Eddie Redmayne as, the extraordinary interpreter of characters.
Yeah.
I thought in The Danish Girl, he really missed.
Really?
Yes. I was kind of shocked, because what he was putting forward in The Danish Girl was more a poseur, more someone who didn't really have an individual inside him that was coming out, but a type, a stereotype of a man who has decided, or his body maybe has decided, his chemical makeup has decided that he is more female than male. I think part of it is the fault of the scriptwriter.
Or direction, even.
Possibly direction as well.
Because he's clearly a gifted actor, right?
Well, he was last year.
So you don't lose that in 1 year. So it has to be something else, right?
I think he's a very good actor.
It has to be writing and directing.
I think there was nothing. Yeah, but I'll put the onus on the writer.
Okay.
Because I didn't see where that character came from. So he's looking like a late 20th century transgendering stereotype. And that's too bad, because that was an awfully good opportunity.
But isn't that the role of the director to say, hey, you're making this a caricature, back off?
Unfortunately.
Unless the director wanted it that way.
Unfortunately, when you have an actor working with you who has just won the Oscar, you may be not able to say too much to that actor, or you keep your mouth shut.
Well, then you're a bad director. You have to have control if it's your baby.
That gets very complicated.
What depends is the role of a director? Sometimes in some projects, it's the actor who is the strongest guy on the lot or woman on the lot.
Yeah, it gets very complicated. How much power does the director have? What about the actors? You know, if it's a major star, that major star might take over the entire film. If it's a major director, if it's Steven Spielberg, no one's going to tell Spielberg what to do. You know, it gets very, very complicated.
Well, it depends on how the film is conceived. If the film was conceived as a vehicle for Eddie Redmayne, then that's one thing. But it wasn't, right? It was a sort of an issue film that was...
That's a best-selling novel.
Yeah, transgender is very popular these days. Okay. There are a lot of films that came out last year that deal with this issue.
Some films are sold just on their issue alone. And transgender is a hot issue.
That's my point, then. Yeah. If it wasn't made as a, quote, vehicle for him, then the director has to say, hey, stop it.
But once he entered the scene, it could have been his vehicle.
Okay.
Yeah.
800-348-2551 if you want to join in. We are talking Oscars today with Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. Here we are with the list of Best Picture. And the nominees are Spotlight, The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max, Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, and Room.
Okay. I think it's a toss-up between The Revenant and Spotlight, and I think The Revenant is going to win. I think The Revenant is going to win more Oscars than any of the other films. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor.
It's up for 12
and
perhaps, Oscars.
Yeah, and in a bunch of other categories, too.
Okay, so The Revenant wins. Is it a close race?
I couldn't say. I think those are the only two in your mind. Yeah. Not really. And I mean, my personal choice would be Spotlight, but I think The Revenant is going to win because that's the hot film, you know, among the intelligentsia.
Certainly among
these
the bear lovers, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, Audrey, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Revenant is going to take as many as it's up for almost. I have a feeling if there were a woman co-star in Revenant, that her name would have appeared on the nominations. It's just one of those films that Iñárritu's name is kind of rising as, well, this one is art.
Yeah.
You know, this one is a work of art.
And you enjoyed it?
I did.
I did, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the special effects, to the bear... Yeah. CG that they used, the CG to make the bear attack work, was quite something.
Some of my friends have said they're not going to see the film or they're afraid to see the film because they're grossed out by the content.
Yeah.
Well, I'm grossed out by content frequently. I will walk out of a film or I won't even approach the film because of content. But with The Revenant, there wasn't a moment where I felt that the content was too strong for me or my stomach.
Also, Quentin Tarantino. A lot of people can't deal with Tarantino because of his violence. Mm-hmm. This is many years ago when Pulp Fiction came out.
Yeah.
I saw it at the New York Film Festival, and I thought to myself, this film is not for Audrey because of some of the scenes in that film. So I suggested to her that, you know, she should wait till it comes out on, back then it was VHS, so this way she could fast forward through some of the scenes.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She loved it because this is a director who has style, who puts a certain content into his films. He references a lot of film history.
And that's a problem I have with him. I think he does too many references to... too many films.
Ray, you're breaking my heart.
Really? Oh, you're a big Tarantino fan?
Oh, I'm a big Tarantino fan, and I feel terrible that The Hateful Eight did not make it onto the Best Picture list.
Yeah. No, I enjoy his pictures to a great extent. I just think it's almost like a smirking reference to some of these great films, don't you think?
No.
you have to understand where Tarantino was coming from. He is a purist. By the way, speaking of Best Picture nominees that films that weren't nominated.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Hello. Hello.
I'm waiting for Hot Tub Time Machine 33.
That's the blockbuster.
That's what I'm. But I mentioned before, I believe, Beasts of No Nation. Sicario is a wonderful film. Highly recommended. That could have been number 9 or number 10
okay.
on the list.
And why
also,
only 8,
Carol,
by the way.
Carol didn't get a nomination.
Yeah, why only 8?
We had this conversation
had this
a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
For 10.
Yeah.
I think that's
shouldn't they
snobbish.
Always have 10? Yeah. Shouldn't they always be at the max?
Well, they can, but
well,
they're
they've
not.
They've never invited me into the Academy, so I don't know. Yeah. But
this, again, gets my question about the gatekeeper, because are the all the members of the Academy making the nominees? Is there a certain critical mass of votes that you need to become a nominee? Because there are so many movies out, and there are only 8 nominees, there are 10 slots. Shouldn't there be 10 movies every year?
Well, there don't have to be, but I think there should be. But, right. you know, that's up to them. They're a
Why?
Very powerful group. And if they can't pick 10 films, come on.
I mean, Sicario, that should be a Best Picture nominee. Mm-hmm. Beasts of No Nation should be. But, you know, even Straight Outta Compton, which I liked a lot.
You
if
know
that,
what
if they, that had won for Best, if that would have been a Best Picture nominee, I would have said great.
They've left out all the smaller films, more intimate films, and they're giving us the
like Carol,
the big
example.
Entertainments. Yeah. yeah. Well, and like Grandma, or The Diary of a Teenage Girl, or as you mentioned before, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl is innovative. It's it really strikes you as you watch it that you're seeing something new and different. Why wasn't that there? No, I mean, there are just too many. Even a film, and you're going to laugh at this, Trainwreck with Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
That was a very outstanding film.
Really?
Yes.
Laugh out loud funny,
and it didn't
I agree.
Get noticed yeah. by the Academy.
Comedies are tough, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Love and Mercy, if you're going to go to the issue films, to the psychological films, that's the film about Brian Wilson of
yeah.
the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
That was an outstanding
Who
work.
Played Brian Wilson?
Two people.
Paul Dano and John Cusack. You had two actors playing...
Different era.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh.
You know, there's one other point that I do want to mention, because we're running out of time. Best foreign film.
Okay.
The walkaway winner is going to be this film titled Son of Saul.
Right, and you wrote about this.
It's a Holocaust film. It's a tough film to watch, given its content. But really, it's a must-see film. I would say that it is the most powerful Holocaust-related film that I have ever seen in my life. But there's one documentary that was made 60 years ago, Night in Fog, by Alain René. That film is up there. But Son of Saul is just, it blows you
yeah.
away. It's an extraordinary film. That's going to win, for sure, Best Foreign Language Film, and it is deserving of everything, every prize it wins.
Audrey?
I guess. I haven't seen Son of Saul yet because of the content.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see it on DVD.
All right, let's go quickly to the phones here. We only have about 30 seconds. Marta in Poughkeepsie, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Question to the panel. Could they name more of the issue films? For instance, I'd like to know the name of the Spike Lee film that came out. I think it's about a black woman, and there's a film about homelessness and eviction, and there's I know there was a film about Dan Rather, but I don't know any of their names.
Okay.
99 Homes is about evictions
it's and Andrew mortgages. Andrew Garfield and Michael... I'm blanking out on his last name, who is a tremendous actor.
Okay.
The Spike Lee film is Chirac, Chirac, adaptation of Lysistrata. What's the other?
Well, Dan Rather.
Oh, Dan, that's called
about him?
That's called Truth. It's,
uh-huh.
All these are out on DVD.
Who plays Dan Rather?
Robert
this
Redford.
This is what's ridiculous.
Robert Redford,
of
yes.
all people.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I think Greg Kinnear
really
could have pulled that off.
That really bothered me.
Yeah, that didn't bother me. It bothered Audrey. Yeah.
Spotlight is a good issue film. It's about the Catholic Church and how it dealt with priests who were molesting
sexual
children.
Abuse of
yeah,
children.
And that's
women
up for 6 Academy Awards.
Were,
Marta, we're
yes.
out of time, but thank,
thank you.
For, thanks for calling. Rob and Audrey, we're done.
Wow.
So what do you do for your party? Do you break out the booze and
well,
kick back and relax?
Well, this year's just robbing me. So I got a new popcorn popper this year. So
how can you lose?
Yeah.
And you'll just sit and argue, and it'll be fun.
It will.
Just like the breaks here. This is great. I always have fun with you, too, and it's always nice to have you here, and we look forward to your commentaries.
And it's always a pleasure to be here.
All right, and let's go Mets, huh?
Yeah, right.
All right, let's go Mets. Thanks.
Let's go baseball.
Ah, it's almost here. The support for WAMC comes from the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people. Nature.org/Adirondacks. Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 45 years, providing companions aides at nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, interimhealthcare.com. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Thanks again to Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to the great Zach Malloy, our engineer. And your phones were answered by Deb Malik. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks to our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Tomorrow, she tells me, it's a Food Friday. Stay tuned now for news.